We're in a series called Cathedral Strong, looking at Romans chapter 8, how the truths in that chapter can help us to live victorious, to live strong. And to get things started, I thought that I would start out with this. Does anybody recognize what this is? A Rubik's Cube. You got it. So in 1974, when it was first invented, it was not called a Rubik's Cube. It was called a magic cube. It was invented by a Hungarian architect by the name of Rubik's, and he invented it in order to teach his students about three-dimensional geometry. Now, the first time he mixed up the colors, it took him a month to get all the colors back in line. But when he finally did, look at what he said. He said, it felt like watching something beautiful come together after chaos. Now, a toy company bought the rights, renamed it the Rubik's Cube, and 350 million sales later, it is still going strong. They say that the average person who does it for the first time, it takes them 20 hours to complete the puzzle. If I tried to finish it, I think the only shot I would have is by doing this right up here. I'd need some paint. And just how God can take all the unexpected twists and turns in your life, and when you surrender it into His hands, all the colors eventually come out right. That is a sermon. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word? Back to Romans 8. Let me read it to you, and then we'll come back and read a line together. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. How many love God today? And this promise is for you, to all those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Can we go back to the first two lines again? And let's read that out loud together. Let's fill this place with the Word of God. Everyone say it with me. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. No matter what you're going through in this moment, this promise reminds us that God's got this. God's got this. Father, thank You for Your Word. Take Your Word, apply it to our hearts. Encourage us all today with the strength, the profound strength that comes from this promise to live before You. I pray this in Jesus' name and for His glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's give God praise one more time for His Word. Amen. Before you're seated, tell somebody, God's got this. Go ahead. God's got this. This is a profound promise. And so I want to take a bit of a deep dive into this and look at three words with you. And the first word has to do with clarity. Clarity. We seek clarity. What exactly does this verse mean? Well, maybe it would be good to start out by thinking about what it doesn't mean. First of all, it doesn't mean that everything that happens in your life is going to be good. Some people think that when they become a follower of Jesus, that means everything in their life is gonna be good. It's all good. But that's not what this promise means. Because at some point in your life, you're going to experience mayhem. And when it does, well, the Bible in just a few verses is going to talk about some of the things we can face as followers of Jesus. It talks about trouble and persecution and destitution and hunger and calamity and death threats. I mean, it doesn't mean that everything that happens in my life is going to be good, but it does mean that even in the middle of the mayhem, the Bible says in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. So it doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to be good, and it doesn't mean that everything in your life has come from God. There's a lot of things that happen in the world that God is not the author of. Tony Blair was once being interviewed, and the person asked him, there had been a terrorist attack on his country, and they said, how can you say that God is good when this happened in your country? And he said this, he said, just because man is bad, it does not mean that God is not good. See, we live in a broken world with broken people, and those broken people make broken choices, and those broken choices bring more mayhem into our world. In fact, the Bible goes a step further and says there's even supernatural forces that are at work in our world to create havoc. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. So there are dark forces at work in our world to try to work through people to create havoc and mayhem. The devil is a bad devil, but God is a good God. And the goodness of God can rise above the evil in our world. One of my favorite quotes is from St. Augustine. Listen carefully to what he writes. He says, the omnipotent God, all-powerful God, being himself supremely good, could not permit anything evil in his works were he not so all-powerful and good as to be able to bring good even out of evil. In other words, God does not cause all things, but God is good enough to use all things. And this is what the promise means. For those who love God, how many love God today? Then this promise is for you, that all of the twists and turns in your life, that God can use all those things, bad things, good things, all things, to work them together for our good and for his glory. Can we give him praise? Amen. Yes, he can. Now stay with me. This whole idea of working together for good, the phrase working together, it's where we get our word synergy from. And it's as if a master composer takes all these notes and uses it to create beautiful music, or a master painter takes all of these different colors and uses it to create a masterpiece, or a master chef takes all these different ingredients and uses them in a way. Does anybody love pizza? Dr. Wayne and I were recently in Italy, and we went to this amazing Easter pizza place. And if you ask me, Pastor Ken, what kind of pizza do you like? Do you like cheese pizza? Do you like pepperoni pizza? Do you like mushroom pizza? The answer is yes, I like all pizza. I've never met a pizza I didn't like, but this was going to test me because they brought out a pizza with mustard on it. What? Time out. You put mustard on a hot dog at the ball game. You put cheese on the pizza. And yet I found out something, that in the hands of the master chef, if you put mustard with chicory and basil and chickpeas and tomato and olive oil. Excuse me, I'm just having a moment. Bellissimo. And in the same way that you don't think all those things could ever taste good together, God can take every ingredient in your life, and when he's done working on it, something good will come out of it. And that's why we can have the strength to face another day. A great case study of this is found in the Bible in the story of Joseph. Joseph has a dream to be a leader, but then he runs into bad things. His brothers, out of jealousy, sell him into slavery. That is a bad thing. Then he is thrown in prison for something that he didn't do. That is a bad thing. But even in the middle of all of these bad things, God is still at work and ends up raising him to a level of leadership that he could not have ever imagined that he would be at. And at the end of the day, when he's talking to his brothers, he sums up the journey this way. He says to his brothers, "Don't you see, you planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good." All things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God can take all things, and he's working them together for our good and for his glory. Can we give him praise one more time? Thank you, God, for your amazing ability. God's got this. Say that with me. God's got this, whatever you're going through. Now, the next word I want to go to is confidence. Confidence. Here's the promise. Here's what it means. But how confident are you, really, in this promise? I saw this cat. He looked like a confident cat. And I was thinking, if you and I were out for coffee after church and we were having a heart-to-heart and I asked you, really, how confident are you as you look at your life that this promise is true for you? On a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being, I wish that all things would work together for good. I really do. Or would you be a 10? I know that I know that I know that I know that all things are working together for my good. Where do you fall on that scale? Because at some point, your confidence, it may not be today, but at some point, your confidence is going to be tested, and you might find yourself right in the middle. I believe, but Jesus, help my unbelief. I know what it is to be there. I really do. When mayhem hit my life hard, it was like getting blindsided by a middle linebacker, and it was just hard to breathe. I hurt all over. And as I was processing it, I mean, I believed all my life that the Bible is the Word of God. Can somebody say amen to that? I have believed all my life that the Bible, as the Word of God, is true. Can someone say amen to that? But in that moment, it was a gut check for me. I had to ask myself, do I believe what I believe I believe? And there were times I would look at what was going on and I would say something meaningful, something productive, something good out of this. I just don't see it. Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. And when I'm wrestling with this promise, there are two things that always help me out and move toward the 10 side of the scale. The first one happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. The Romans devised this method of execution called crucifixion, and it was a horrific thing to see. I mean, we it's portrayed in all kinds of things today, on TV, in movies, in art. But back in that day, I mean, in the first few centuries, scholars say that we have lots of pictures or drawings of the life of Jesus, but it's not until the 5th century that we first have a drawing of Jesus on the cross. And that was well after crucifixion had stopped in the Roman Empire. And these scholars suggest that the reason is anybody who had seen a crucifixion in person, it was so horrific. You could write about it and you could talk about it to actually draw a picture of it. It was the worst. And what does God do? He takes the worst moment in human history, the Son of God crucified on a cross and turns it on its head and brings out of it the best moment of human history, salvation for the world. And if God can do that, let me say it again. If God can do that, if God can do that, he can take your situation, he can take my situation, and he can take it and bring something good and meaningful and productive out of it. Let's give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says this. It says, he brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. We know that we know that we know that we know, because that's what God did at the cross. And we know through experience, because if you look around this room, oh my, I know enough of your stories that I've seen this promise come to pass, and so have you. We could go around the room and spend all day, and people could talk about how God has taken a test and turned it into a testimony. How God has taken a mess and he's given them a message. How God has taken the mayhem and brought meaning out of it. How God has taken the brokenness and brought something beautiful out of it. That God has done that in your life, and God's done it in my life. We know from the cross, and we know from experience. In fact, Lauren mentioned my new book that's coming out this week, and I really wrote it for our 60th anniversary as a gift to our cathedral family. And it is filled with stories about this kind of thing, how God causes all things to work together for our good. One of the stories, in fact, this is the cover that you chose. And so thank you so much for inspiring me and helping me out. I really appreciate it. Yeah, let's give God praise. It's a miracle. The book is on its way. Anyway, one of the stories in it is of Travis Ishikawa, our friend. And if you remember Travis's story, he was signed right out of high school for $1 million to go play for the Giants. And he worked his way up through the farm system, became a member of the big league team, and was a part of the World Series championship in 2010. Everything was going up and right for Travis until it wasn't. And he went into this prolonged slump, and no matter what he did, more batting practice, looking at film, weight training, he couldn't seem to break out of the slump, and the pressure mounted. And after being in the minors, demoted, and bouncing from club to club, emotionally and spiritually depleted, he called his best friend, and he told him on the phone in tears. He said, I just don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't have it in me. And his friend reminded him of a truth that became a game changer for Travis. And he said, Travis, whether you are a ball player or not, Jesus will still love you the same. That you are not defined by being a ball player. You are defined by the love of God. You are a child of God. And what God was doing through the midst of all that was building a stronger foundation for Travis's identity. Well, God gave him perseverance. And those of you who are Giant fans, you know the rest of the story. How he was back on the team, back in the playoffs in 2014, stepped up to the plate in the bottom of the ninth, and here is what happened.
Travis Ishikawa hits one into right. The Giants win the pennant.
We see how it worked out in Travis's life. His bat ends up in the Hall of Fame. His picture is on a plaque outside the stadium, and he's got a big tattoo on his forearm that's a phoenix rising up out of the ashes. God did it for him. God will do it for you. We know from the cross and from experience that God is at work doing, you know, bringing all things, working all things together for our good. That's why you and I, if we're confident of that, that's why you and I can get up in the morning with hope. Even when we're in the midst of the worst of times, we can wake up with our hearts filled with hope. Harvard Project for Human Flourishing found this out. It said people who regularly attend worship are 33% less likely to experience despair after trauma, largely because of perceived divine purpose. It's because we know that we know that we know. Friend, you're in the right place. You're around the right people. Despair is on the way out. Hope is on the way in. We know that we know that we know that we know. God is causing all things to work together for our good. God's got this. Say it with me. God's got this. One more idea I want you to think about, and that is conformity. What is the ultimate good? God can do all kinds of good things in our lives, and he does. But what's the ultimate good God is working out? And we find that in Romans chapter 8. As we go back there, it says, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, to become more and more like Jesus." That is the ultimate good. That means that God can take every single twist and turn that happens in your life and make you more and more like Jesus, to be a human being who's fully realized, a human being who's fully alive, to be the very best version of yourself. And what could be better than that? And that meant God's at work even now to cause all things to work together toward that ultimate good. Even when you have a rough week, I saw a Rubik's Cube that had a rough week. And even when you have a rough week or a rough day, quite a while back, I borrowed a car and I needed to put some gas in it. And I pulled in, I put $20, a $20 bill into the machine. And then I couldn't figure out how to open the latch to get to the gas tank. And so I'm looking all over. It's not my car. Now I'm stressed. This was before the days, I think, of smartphones and all that. And then this lady pulls in behind me, and she starts screaming at me, "Hurry up! Hurry up!" And of course, that always helps things out, right? I think we have a picture of that lady right up here. And so here she is, just, "Hurry up, Ken." And I explained what happened, and she said, "Just get out of the way, I'll give you $20. And I said, "All right." So I pull over to the side, she gives me $20, and for some reason, I don't know what happened. I honestly don't know what happened. I don't know if the machine shut down or timed out, but it's not working for her, and now she starts screaming at me, "You stole $20! You stole $20!" And I have to say, when I got up in the morning and I said, "This is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it," I didn't have this in mind, that I was going to meet a lady with anger management issues. But looking back, do you know what that became? It was an unexpected twist and turn. But God was using that to work on my character, to build my patience, to build my self-control, to build my gentleness, to build my kindness. At least I didn't cuss at her. Huh? Yeah. Much. No, I'm just teasing. I didn't. If you want to see how it ended up, you can go to go on YouTube, PastorKenInChokehold.com, and you'll find that there's a leader, I love his quote. He says, Don't say that person bothers me. Say that person sanctifies me. The God is causing all things to work together for that ultimate good of being like Jesus. And one day that's going to happen when Jesus returns. In 1 John 3, verse 2, it says this. It says, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. Say that with me. We shall be like him. How we are looking forward to that day. And there's something in Romans 8 that I want to point out to you that talks about the certainty of our future. In Romans chapter 8, there's something that theologians call the golden chain. And it goes like this. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, glorified is speaking of the moment when Jesus returns and we shall be like him. But do you notice that it's in the past tense, like it's already happened? That in the mind of God, it's a done deal. That God is so committed to you in order to reach your ultimate good, that in his heart, it's as good as done. And he's going to make sure it happens. Philippians chapter 1 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. God's got this. Say that with me. God's got this. Oh, I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. If you'd say, Pastor Ken, I know about Jesus, I admire Jesus, but I've never really become a follower of Jesus. Every journey starts with a step. And if you want to take hold of this promise, it's a true promise, but it's true for those who are followers of Jesus. And if you'd say, yeah, I want to step into that promise today, would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor Ken, that's me. I want to become a follower of Jesus today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All over the building, those in the balcony, God sees your hand. Those who are watching online, God sees your hand. He sees your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Father, I thank you for all those who are making the decision to follow Jesus today. All heaven is celebrating this moment. Today is the first step of a lifelong journey with you, and then to be in eternity with you. Doesn't get any better than that. And God, I pray for all of us. We bring all the things that are going on in our lives, the good things, the bad things, the just plain ugly things. We surrender them to you, God. We put them in your hands. And we ask that you would take all of it, all of these twists and turns, and that you would somehow make the colors come out right. Our confidence is in you. Our trust is in you. Jesus, we believe. Help us in our unbelief. We love you and we thank you for being so very good to us.